opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Enjoy.
Good evening, North State. I'm James Mazzotta with the Enjoy Hour. You're listening to KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, and this is Talk Radio, but we're with North State now, and I am here with my lovely, lovely wife, who is filling in for Rhonda Alvey, who is busy tonight breaking a leg on stage over at the Riverfront Theater.
What was the name of it? Showdown at French Gulch?
Yeah.
Something like that. It was so fun. We saw it last night.
So how are you doing, sweets?
Good.
Yeah?
Good, yeah.
We been running a little behind the eight ball today. We're trying to move a massive 1,300-pound coffee roaster just a little while ago. And so, you know, we get in here under the wire. So if we seem a little out of breath and a little unprepared, that's my fault because I kept us out too long, out playing in the hot sun. Anyway, we are here with the latest issue of Enjoy Magazine and going to be having a few guests on tonight based upon some of the really cool articles that we have in this month's issue that's out currently. It is the May 2024 issue. It is issue 212, Body and Soul. And so this issue has a lot of great things in here based on health and wellness and that kind of a theme. I always like to just reiterate that a lot of our magazines have some type of theme on the cover or some type of wording that is kind of tied throughout the pages. But never let that distract you if it's not something that you're interested in. Typically, there are also a handful of other articles that aren't necessarily related to the theme that just kind of stick out. And so there's usually something in there for everybody to enjoy, no pun intended, but, you know. So what's going on? I know we were just coming in downtown to the studio and noticed it looks like the Roaring Gulch is being set up for tomorrow's rodeo pancake breakfast.
Pancake breakfast, 5 a.m.
Are we going?
I want to go, but you were a little hesitant. It's an early, early morning.
You know what? I don't know. I can't honestly say. You know, I have a lot going on. I mean, we'll just kind of take it from here. A lot of people know that, you know, the magazine is still in production, but we had to close our store down by no fault of our own. And that kind of stuff at some point we'll be able to talk about a little bit more freely, but just know that that wasn't by our own hand that took place. And so I am doing other things, new things, that I have never done before. And, in some of those things, which I can't give away right now, but things that I've been working on actually for several years. So it's just now I can give my heart and soul into it. And, being that I have been a resident to Shasta County for, gosh, what did we figure out? Almost 50 years.
Right.
Off and on since I moved here when I was a wee lad, 5 or 6 or whatever it is. Yeah. There's just so much stuff in our neighborhood that, you know, being here this long, discovering on a monthly basis through Enjoy, it's been spectacular. But
especially starting with an international hair care company.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, I have to say I'm fortunate for that my father, you know, at some point was had a very thriving business internationally. And so, you know, that's obviously where
I
met you. But that also gave us a lot of really cool experiences from, you know, traveling the world and seeing things and interfacing with a lot of really interesting and great companies. But I was saying, you know, what kind of sparred this was the fact that, like, I was like, are we not going to go to the pancake breakfast? But then I realized how many years I've been to the pancake breakfast, right? And it almost feels a shame not to.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, we'll probably go.
It's part of a tradition.
Well, and before, since, I mean, honestly, with the store, that's the only reason why I thought maybe not to go, because typically I buy a big, you know, handful of tickets for myself, for you, the boys, and then everybody at the office. And so, you know, the store's not there, so the Cowboys didn't come around and asked me to buy my ticket. So, I mean, you can buy them right there on the spot, which we'll do. But
did you hear about last night's Stagecoach debacle at the rodeo?
No. You can jump in, even though we haven't introduced you.
Yeah, I heard it on TV. I was amazed that that happened. But I haven't seen it. I would like to see the video of that.
Sure. I didn't hear anything.
I heard, I was at one of the offices today, and they were speaking about it, and I thought I would know about it, but I didn't hear anything.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if it turned over. I don't know what happened.
Oh.
Like the horses got wild. Like,
oh, really?
Through the chute or whatever you call it. So, yeah.
Production just came in. We're going to modify your microphone so that you're a little bit more on it. These are very directional, so you have to kind of be on top of it. It's like just picture yourself getting ready to bite into a big gigantic. Yeah, well, yours is purple. Yours is purple. Mine is green. So, yeah, yours is a grape. Mine is a green apple, and yours is a red apple.
Yeah.
Or cherry.
Or a strawberry.
Or a strawberry. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I didn't hear anything.
I mean, every year there has to be a little...
A little drama?
Controversy.
Yeah, but that's unfortunate.
I know.
Anyway, so we are in the throes of rodeo season. That is one of the biggest things that goes on here in Shasta County. It's part of our culture. So I have also heard that the rodeo is sold out.
Yes.
So if you want to go and you didn't do something, too bad for you. Only tonight you can go?
I heard it on the radio.
Okay. Yeah, see, you're a wealth of knowledge. You're not just a beautiful set of hips.
I'll laugh with you.
So, obviously, the Enjoy magazine has lots of great things that are found throughout the pages. I'm always interested, and we always have two recipes, right? So, love food. Have our local events calendar that is back and stronger than ever. It's multi-pages. I always like to point out it's not just about, Redding or even Shasta County. It is really broken down to Northern California, so it covers Anderson, Chico, Cottonwood, Dunsmuir, Gridley, McLeod. We go on and on. Red Bluff, Oroville, Mount Shasta, Paradise. And then it even goes... into like the Reading Civic Auditorium and what they've got scheduled, the Reading Library and all of their events. I mean, the Reading Library does a lot. Look at that. It has almost three quarters of a page of its own of just things in May. Weed, there's Paradise Performing Arts Center, Axiom Repertory Theater, Cascade Theater, Bernie Library, Chico Theater Company, The Dip. Theater on the Ridge, Shader Planetarium, all these kind of Riverfront Playhouse, Shasta College Performing, State Theater in Red Bluff. Growing up as a kid here most of my life, off and on, as young people, we always used to say there's just nothing to do, And I think that's just a kid thing. Because there's always probably been things to do. But I'm sorry. If you can't find something to do in Reading or Shasta County or the area, then there's something wrong with you, because you can't almost anymore book an event if you're creating one, right? If you're creating an event, it would tear your mind apart to try to find something to slip it in a place where it wasn't competing with, 50 other events going on.
Right.
So, which is a good thing for all of us residents and people that live in the great North State, is that there's plenty to do. So I go through here and let's see, did we already miss it or is it coming up? Let's see, May, 25th and 26th, Craft and Antique Car Show with the Strawberry Festival. This is going to be this is the 83rd Happy Valley.
So popular.
Well, I mean, I'm drooling. Can you hear my saliva already? I've just like shortcake and strawberries
pie.
And jams and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, I mean, I'm totally into it. We just got done with the Vine and Dine, right?
Oh, that was great.
You and I went to that. That was at the City Hall, and it was tasting, sampling all over City Hall and outside on the roof area, the roof deck, to raise money for, I guess it was for a new park that they're developing. That was really a success, and I was happy to be a part of that as well. What other things?
Bounce House.
I know this one's really cool.
It's
called the Big Bounce Reading, and it looks like it's in collaboration with Results Radio, and also the Haas Farms is where it's going to be located, I guess. But they're bringing in basically, it looks like, I mean, from the pictures, it looks like a small city. A small city of bouncing, right?
Lots of hot air in that city.
Yeah. I mean, and it looks fun, but now at my age, I think to myself, I may make myself sick and throw up, right, if I'm going to be bouncing around that much. So that one is Memorial Day weekend, May 24th and 25th and 26th. So check that out for sure. It looks like there's a barcode that you can scan, but it's bigbouncereading.com. You can take a look at that. What other things do we got?
I have the name of the theater, the Foul Play in French Gulch.
Oh, Foul Play.
Yes.
The one that we went and saw.
That Rhonda was in.
Yeah, so we went and saw Rhonda, who's our managing editor of Enjoy, and of course she's usually my cohort here on the station. But this was her, you know, she's the president, acting president right now for Riverfront Playhouse. Right. And, she actually, this is her first time actually taking a role in a play. So she's on stage singing and dancing, and she did an actually incredible
really
job.
Really good job.
She looked amazing. I didn't realize that she could sing. I didn't know that she could run the way she did. I mean, there was a lot going on that she had to do, and I was very proud of her. So if you haven't, we got to go as a guest of the, Historic Society, Reading Historic Society. They bought the theater out and invited a lot of guests, which was a blast, and I want to thank them for the things that they do within our community for sure. So, but anyway, again, there's 100 pages of things in here to read, things to do, things to go support, and we just love being a part of the community through Enjoy Magazine and sharing the gifts that the North State provides for everybody that lives here. So anyway, we're going to take our first break. Sit back, relax, go to the fridge, grab a snack, something to drink. And when we come back shortly, we will be introducing you to our first guest of the evening. So enjoy.
Attention all gardening enthusiasts. It's time to celebrate 50 years of greenery and growth at Gold Leaf Nursery in Reading. That's right, folks. For almost a half a century, Gold Leaf Nursery has been your go-to destination for all things garden-related. And to mark this incredible milestone, they're throwing the biggest sale this year. The nursery is blooming with vibrant perennials and annuals, hardy shrubs, succulents, and majestic trees, vegetables, herbs, roses, ground coverings, along with 1 gallon or larger and all bagged soil amendments. Their extensive selection ensures that there's something for every taste and style. And don't forget about their premium selection of statuaries, fountains, and bird baths to add that perfect finishing touch. At Gold Leaf Nursery, they're not just about selling plants. They're about cultivating joy, creating memories, and nurturing connections with nature. Come visit them today and let them help turn your outdoor space into a sanctuary you'll love coming home to. Thanks for voting Gold Leaf Nursery best in the North State. Come check them out on Churn Creek Road, 1/4 mile from Airport Road, open Tuesday through Saturday.
Hello, this is Rollin from the Flag Center. Are you thinking about a new flagpole for Memorial Day or 4th of July? Well, now is a good time. Currently, our high-quality Titan telescoping poles are on sale at prices too low to advertise. These beautiful silver or dark bronze poles are backed by a lifetime warranty and wind-rated at 95 miles per hour. The Flag Center, 2124 Hilltop Drive, since 1982.
Every day, your life is filled with choices. And when a health crisis happens, you need to be prepared to choose the best healthcare partner. That's when Shasta Regional Medical Center is there to answer the call above the rest. Ranked best in Reading and in the nation for patient safety and clinical excellence, you can be confident that when you choose Shasta, you are choosing superior care, safety, and excellence for you and your family. Choose Shasta at ShastaRegional.com.
At Stifel Nicolaus, I am committed to offering investors personalized investment guidance. Stifel has a full-service organization with departments staffed with professionals that specialize in a wide range of investment opportunities. We strive to give each account, regardless of size, careful individual attention. This is Susan Eastman, financial advisor, Stifel Nicolaus. Let's talk today about a personalized plan. Give me a call at 530-244-7199. Again, 530-244-7199.
June 8th is your chance to support our veterans. Join Simpson University, Dr. Paul DeNuca, and Josh Barker Real Estate for the Simpson Veteran Success Center Fundraising Gala, featuring John Bardis, founder and chairman of Higher Heroes. You'll be moved by the real stories of Johnny, Ruby, Jess, and Julia. Go to the simpsonu.edu events page to become a sponsor or reserve your table now. That's simpsonu.edu/events.
See, I can't sing, but I'm going to anyway, right? If I like it, I'm going to anyway. Again, you're listening to KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, and this is North State Now with James Mazzotta.
And Yvonne Mazzotta.
And we are with Enjoy Magazine. And we love the breaks, even though I'm sure you guys don't care for them because you have to listen through the commercials, which are super,
we need the commercials,
which were super important and thankful because those are what pay for things so that we can do these great shows. So we appreciate that support. But it's a lot of fun for us because the mics go off and then we get to really know our guests, right? And we yak it up here and have a good old time. So, my dear, why don't you introduce us to our first guest this evening?
Well, first I'm going to say Ma Kau Kau, which means
get ready.
Get ready. Are you ready for Sandy Jones? She's a Reading senior citizen hula dance instructor.
Bam. There you go. Good evening, my dear. Now people will... Go ahead.
And now I'm tongue-tied.
Yeah,
aloha.
That's right.
No, you're fine.
Aloha.
Aloha.
Does aloha really mean hello and goodbye? Is it a universal word?
It's also a way of life of the Hawaiians, too.
Okay.
Showing a lot of respect to other people.
Uh-huh.
And love and peace.
Okay.
That's so important.
It's a pretty profound word, then.
Yes.
We just take it for granted to just say aloha, but if it's culturally that important. And I've heard people say aloha when you're showing up and aloha when you leave, and I'm like... Well, didn't you say hello with that? Goodbye. But that's the same kind of in Italian. They say ciao for lots of things. You know, it has multiple meanings. So interesting and beautiful language, the Hawaiian language.
Yes, which I don't speak.
You don't speak?
No.
But you have some
yes,
words.
Yes, I can say some Hawaiian words. I can say some sentences, and you'll think, oh, she speaks Hawaiian.
Yeah.
But she doesn't.
Okay. Well, just keep it that way.
Yes, that's right. That's
keep them guessing.
My secret.
Yeah. Hula of mystery. That's what we'll call you. The mistress of hula mystery. Anyway, great article here starting on page 48. It says Go Hawaiian, and it's got the funny little hula thing that you put in the window of your car. So I thought that was kind of funny.
I have one on mine. But it's not as cute as that. Her skirt is starting to fall off.
Oh, dirty girl. She's been whipping those hips too bad back and forth, right? So tell us a little bit about yourself. I mean, like, what possessed you or led you or, you know, how did this come to be?
To be here?
Not at the radio station.
Hula.
We know why, because you're a hula master. But no, but the whole thing about, you know, I mean, like.
What inspired you to do hula?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I am born and raised in Hawaii on the island of Maui, and I grew up in Honolulu. And when I think I was in the ninth grade. See, I actually failed piano lessons. And then I asked my dad if I could take hula. And so he said, okay. So my sister and I, actually it was about five blocks down the road. And so we signed up for hula class. And it was a male instructor, George Nopi.
Wow.
And my sister lasted about 3 months. And then she just faded away. And I was bound and determined to learn to dance. And so that was 9th, 10th, 11th, and 12th. So I did that through high school.
And it's serious. I mean,
because
it's not just like you get up there and shake your hips. I mean, you're telling stories, and it is very precise, the movements for that to be legitimate.
Yes. And you basically start, you have to learn your feet. And so that's what I try to teach my ladies in class. The feet work is very, very important. Mm-hmm. Then the rest of the body
follows.
But it's the kahiko, the chant, which tells the story of Hawaii. Uh-huh. Because back in those days, missionaries forbade anyone to dance.
Mm.
And so also the Hawaiians had no written language.
Mm.
And the missionaries, it took them several years to go ahead and do a written language for them. So in secrecy, they told. That's how they pass the stories on through the kahiko, the chants. And
what a crime in that regard, right?
Mm-hmm.
So many things about the world that we learn, and how unfortunate, you know, things that probably have been lost due to, I guess, colonization or whatever, you know, whatever term is used, right? When indigenous people have other people come in and then realize or think that what they're doing is barbaric or whatever, and stop it, right?
And they bring in all the diseases also.
Yeah, true.
And so many Native Hawaiians or in Polynesia, they They had the chicken pox. They had the measles. They had everything.
Yeah.
So, unfortunately for Captain Cook, the story goes that they had him for dinner, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah. So you were born and raised in Hawaii.
Yes.
Okay. And what is your family's heritage?
My background?
Okay. Yeah. Because I'm looking at you and I'm like, well, I guess you could look like you have Hawaiian in you.
But I wish I did, but I don't.
Okay.
Well, now the correct thing to say is that you're Asian.
Uh-huh.
But it was my grandfather on my mother's side that came from Korea.
Okay.
And they came in because at that time, that was prior to around 1914 or prior to that, they came by the boatloads.
Uh-huh.
So it was the Japanese, Chinese, Korean, Filipinos.
Yeah.
They came in and they worked on the plantations and lived in little shacks. And so then the story my mother says is that some of the men were kind of lonely, so they sent their pictures back to Korea. And so what they got was they got a picture bride.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's how my grandmother came over.
Oh.
So so that's that side of the family.
Okay.
So they grew up on the plantation.
So your mother and father were both Korean?
No.
Or I mean your...
Yes.
On
my mother's side.
On your mother's side.
Yes.
Okay, so your mother was the Korean. And what was your father?
My father was an ex-sailor.
Okay.
Yes. I love it.
Yes, and he came from New York.
Okay.
And so he was...
Not such an unfamiliar story, so, you know.
Right. So he landed in Hawaii. I really don't know how he got there because I couldn't find any records, but he must have been in the Navy to come from New York to Honolulu.
Sure. Yeah.
And so... they got together and they got married, and then my folks moved over to Maui because they were looking for work. And so my dad was a boiler maker or something on the pineapple plantation.
Mm.
And then they decided to go back to Honolulu, and he got a job in the Navy Yard working in the shops.
Yeah.
And so my sister was. She was in the census for 1940. I hadn't been born, so it was interesting. My girlfriend went all the way back and found the census for my mom and dad and my sister. And then when they moved back, then I was born there, and then we moved back. And what else is so interesting about that? Well, Pearl Harbor happened in 1941, and I was a year and a half old when that happened.
Wow.
And my dad was working in the shop, but he wasn't affected.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah.
Well, that's a really interesting story. I mean, you know, just that in general. So you went through school and you learned hula, right? And then when did you come to the mainland?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, and we do call it the mainland.
Yeah. I heard her say states, and I'm like, well, they are states, so this it's the mainland.
And we still may say mainland.
Oh, yeah.
From the mainland.
Yeah.
So I came over in 1961.
Okay.
And so I had some college behind me, and guess what I married? I married a sailor. I am so lucky.
It's in your blood.
I know. So we lived in Georgia, and then I had two sons, and then we came back, and he worked at a reserve center as a person on active duty in Honolulu, and then I finished college. And then we turned around, and I found myself in Amarillo, Texas.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, so, and that's when I started teaching.
Uh-huh.
And then from there, we went to, he loved to hunt and fish.
Yeah.
So I found myself in Billings, Montana.
Oh, my Lord, you've been around.
Yes. And then we parted ways in Billings, Montana, and my mom was still living in Hawaii with my stepdad, and my sister had lived in San Francisco, but they ended up buying a place out in Bella Vista Way.
Oh, my gosh.
And so then my family moved over to be with her.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got tired of shoveling snow. And my classmate from high school, we got together. And so then we both moved here in 1997. And I started at the senior center in 1999.
Mm.
And that was with line dancing.
Oh, okay.
Lived in Montana for 27 years.
So I was going to say that's your little countryside from Montana.
Yeah. So sometimes.
So you're a little bit country and a little bit rock and roll and a little bit hula, aren't you?
And very old too.
Well, you don't look it. So I mean, saying that, you know, that you're they put the senior hula dancer, I thought, well, that doesn't seem really right. I mean, I don't look at you and think senior.
Well, from the senior center.
Yeah.
I know, senior center. Yeah,
yes.
We'll just say that. So, is this, I mean, how does one sign up for a class like yours? Is there an age
Yes, you have to be 50.
A 50, okay. Yeah. Oh, we're in, girl.
Yes.
Want to do hula?
And I have hula classes Tuesday 10 to 12, and then the Wednesday class is a little bit more advanced, and that's 10 to 12.
Okay.
And so,
what would be the best way to find out? I mean, obviously, that somebody, if you want.
Right at the end of the story, it has the senior center with their phone number.
Okay.
And then when they call the senior center, they can get my phone number. And then all they have to do is leave a message, and then I'll call them back.
Okay.
Or they can walk right in.
Okay.
They can come and sit in a class and watch to see if this is what we really want to do.
Sure.
And it's a fun thing. No one's going to go out and be a professional dancer.
Yeah, but this is about learning something, keeping active.
Yes.
Right. Camaraderie.
Yes.
Right? Social.
Becoming a family.
Yeah. Ohana.
Ohana. Yes. Yes. You have been reading. Ohana. And so you have, we only have one gentleman in our group, and he's 87.
Nice.
Been with me for 4 years.
Oh,
and
very cool.
It's a delight. He's a delightful person.
Yeah.
So
it looks like I'm just real here. It says, the Reading Senior Center is at 2290 Benton Drive in Reading. Their phone number is 530-246-3042, or you can reach out to www.readingseniorcenter.org. Their hours are Monday through Thursday, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., and Friday, 9 a.m. to noon, mm-hmm. closed on Saturdays and Sundays.
And those are the days when the office is also open.
Okay.
So I was going to say something, and I had just had a senior moment.
Oh, that's all right. Okay. There, you proved it. You're
yes,
a senior.
A senior. But then I also do, we have line dancing classes, and so that's on Thursday morning. It's a beginner class from 8:30 to 9:30, and then the intermediate is from 9:30 to 11.
Awesome.
And then I have the Friday line dance group where we wear our little skirts and we go out to different facilities. And
I was
so,
going to ask about that.
Tomorrow we're going to the Veterans Center at 10:30 and do a 20-minute performance for them. We go out there twice a year, sometimes three times a year.
Awesome.
And we've been to Hilltop and we've been to Shasta State. So we make the rounds. Yes.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, thank you so much. If you can imagine, that's already been our 15-minute mark. So
it's
time to kind of cut you loose so you can get those hips moving out the door as you go.
And I won't be telling any more secrets because then I'll just say aloha.
Yeah, there you go. Aloha.
Aloha.
Thank you so much for your time.
You.
Thank you for what you do with the community. If you have any interest in learning a little bit of hula and having some fun with other people in the community, reach out and sign yourself up. Thank you. Have a good night.
Thank you.
We're going to take our next break, and we'll be back with our next guest.
Are you looking to take your business to the next level? Don't let staffing issues or HR red tape stop you from growing. The most successful businesses are those that have mastered their HR and staffing needs, and they have done it with O2 Employment Services. Find harder and more. HR regulations are getting more and more complex and confusing. For over 20 years, O2 has been providing the foundation successful businesses need to grow, assisting employers with their HR, payroll, workers' comp, benefits, and staffing. Partnering with O2 gives you the expertise you need to manage your business and employees. Outsourcing your HR and staffing is no longer a luxury. It's a necessity for successful businesses, and it is more affordable than you think. Let O2 show you how we can help you reduce your HR complexity. Hire the right talent and get back to growing your business. Call O2 today at 530-223-4674 or visit us online at o2es.com.
At Black Bear Diner, sandwich stacks are here and they're tall on irresistible flavors. Indulge in a double bacon stack, hand-breaded crispy chicken stack, a tri-tip cheddar stack, or a crispy cod stack. There's a stack for everyone. Get yours today at Black Bear Diner, now available for limited time. Served all day, every day. In Reading on Hilltop Drive, order one now at blackbeardiner.com.
Black Bear Diner.
The official meeting of the Business to Business meeting is called to order. Business to Business, where we always say, make every transaction a win-win. win. Our guest today is Steve Clark from Minuteman Press of Reading.
Today I'd like to talk to you about business cards.
I just get mine from this.
Don't say it. Don't do it. If you're thinking of ordering your business cards online, don't do it. Keep your business local.
But they're cheaper online.
No. Business cards from Minuteman Press of Reading start at just $35, and custom design services start at $29, and you keep your money local.
Hey, that's a win.
Let us at Minuteman Press of Reading take care of your business cards. Rapid turnaround time and priced right. We also do full-service direct mail and promotional products at Minuteman Press of Reading.
Call 221-0400. That's 221-0400.
For Minuteman Press of Reading, where we design, print, and promote you.
221-0400. That's 221-0400.
Minuteman Press of Reading. Call today.
Owners, landlords, and tenants trust Authority Property Management at 2663 Victor Avenue. They manage a variety of properties, including single-family homes, apartments, condos, townhouses, multifamily properties, and commercial properties. Authority Property Management offers full-time management, including finding and screening tenants, rent collection, financial reporting, and final walkthrough home inspections when they move out. Contact Authority Property Management today at 530-410-6085 and check out their website at authoritypm.com.
Mm-hmm. I need a bowl of fruit on my head. Quick. Yes. Welcome back, KCNR, once again, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. This is North State Now, and I'm James Mazzotta.
I'm Yvonne Mazzotta.
And we're with Enjoy Magazine, and we have our next guest on the line. She is calling in remotely from the beautiful boysenberry fields.
She's outstanding in her field.
She's outstanding in her field, yes. This is.
I am outstanding in my field right now. Looking at my boysenberries.
Yes. So, caveat, she did let us know before she called in that she is getting over a cold. So if her voice sounds a little crackly, that's due to that's just due to the illness and not that she's something else, I guess.
I'm not a smoker,
yeah. So welcome to the show. We really appreciate you calling in. This is Jeanette Boysen Fitzpatrick, but her friends call her Nettie, if we can do that.
Fitzgerald.
What did I say?
But that's all right.
What did I say? Fitzpatrick. Oh, I'm sorry, Fitzgerald. Yes, I can see that here. We have a wonderful story starting on page 26 of the Pages of Enjoy called Berry Delicious. And I am super excited just for – oops, I just hit the microphone. I'm so excited. The fact that, certain stories that we get to do, I think, are just really profound. And this is one that I just really, really love. But,
well, thank you.
Yeah, I mean, super cool your family tree and your family berry vine, I should say. but why don't you tell us a little bit about, I don't want to spill all the beans right here, but I mean, basically in a nutshell, you, come from a lineage of the boysenberry, hence the last name Boysen.
Yes, that's right. My grandfather was Rudy Boysen, and he developed the boysenberry in Napa, California, back in the 1920s.
So the boysenberry is not a native growing species of berry. It was something that was bred or cultivated through
grafted through cross pollination.
Cross pollination.
He was an amateur horticulturist, and he was cross-pollinating some berry vines in a creek bed. He had all different kinds of berry pollens, and he was just painting the flowers with the different pollens, and never quite knew which combination took. But he had this big, beautiful berry that was produced from it. Later on, the USDA was able to determine the parentage of them. You can taste Marion berries and Logan berries, which Logan berries are blackberries and raspberries.
Mm-hmm.
But that's kind of gets more scientific. But anyways, yeah.
So is this something yeah, that could have happened in nature if it just so happened to be the right bee had come from somewhere else, or is this only
that's
something?
A good question.
I mean,
maybe.
Yeah. Boysenberries require pollination from bees to produce?
No, they're self-pollinating.
Okay.
They are self-pollinating, but the bees just absolutely love them. We're about a mile away from Olivera's bee
Olivera's honeybees. I used to work for them.
Yeah, Olivera's honeybees. And there's like two or three honeybees to every flower when they're in bloom.
Yeah.
It's just wonderful to come out here and listen to them peacefully.
Just hum around. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so my wife, Yvonne, that's here with me tonight, actually worked for how many years?
5 years.
Worked 5 years for the Olivera's company.
Family.
Yeah. So she commuted from Reading all the way down to
Orland
every single day.
Wow.
Yeah. So when we were talking, when we were driving here, we were talking about the story. I asked her, I said, are boysenberries required to have bee pollination? She said, I don't know. That'll be one of our questions. And when we were reading the story about where your farm is, she was like, oh, I wonder if the Olivera bees do that. So that's a small world.
It's less than a mile away. Yeah.
Oh, that's so cool.
So they come on over. And
so he created, he did this and created this, and so what did he do with it at that point?
Well, he knew that he had something, and he moved to Southern California a couple of years after he developed this berry and took some of the roots with him.
Uh-huh.
He planted them in an orange orchard that he was managing in Southern California. Unfortunately, he fell down a fire pole hole and was crippled in an accident. Yeah, and so he wasn't able to take care of his berry vines very well, but they did survive enough for a few years later, the USDA George Darrow came looking for him because they'd heard about this berry that he had developed, and Mr. Darrow got a local berry farmer named Walter Knott to help him find my grandfather.
Wow.
And there was a connection there with Walter Knott receiving berry vines from my grandfather, who convinced him even though these vines looked neglected, they produced berries as big as your thumb.
Mm.
And I guess Walter Knott took a look at my grandfather's thumb and decided to give him a try. Yeah. And so, anyways, Mr. Knott is the one who made the boysenberry famous back in the 1930s.
When you say Knott, a lot of people are just going to hear that name. But
Knott's Berry Farm.
There you go.
That's incredible.
That's the thing that's amazing. So the world famous Knott's Berry Farm jams were basically born of your grandfather's ability to cross-pollinate and create a unique berry that we now have as the boysenberry.
Yes. Yeah, and my grandfather's original vine, he left growing in the creek bed in Napa, and his older brother got permission in 1955 to go dig it up and bring it to his place in Merced. And they kept that berry vine just in the family. They only gave away, starts from it to family members, and a family member received some at a family wedding in 1976. She's still growing them in her backyard in Castro Valley near San Francisco.
Wow.
And I was introduced to her in 2016, and she shared 24 starts of her vines, which were direct descendants of my grandfather's original vine. And the really significant part of that is the flavor.
Mm-hmm.
These boysenberries just have a more complex flavor than the commercial boysenberries that I used to grow in my backyard in Las Vegas when I lived there. So that's what's so cool about that. But
Another question for you then, if you know this.
Yeah.
So obviously boysenberry was created, and then there's the original the original plant that you guys have cuttings from. So genetically, this is the plant that your grandfather obviously created.
Yes, they are genetic clones.
Yeah, so what happens, so like a lot of the boysenberries that we get now that are mass farmed, are those basically then people realize that this berry could be created, so they just created their own?
Well, the thing was nobody quite knew what the combination was that my grandfather had used.
Yeah.
Because he really wasn't being scientific about it, and so these may be clones that are closer to being a blackberry and a raspberry, and that kind of thing.
Sure.
In fact, when the USDA did testing for us in 2017, we asked them if they would. They did have on hand in their whole collection of boysenberries, they had like 28 different varieties of boysenberry. They did have one on hand that was purchased from Walter Knott in the 1940s.
Okay.
So chances are that was close to the original.
Okay.
And out of the study that they did, ours was the only match to that original from 1940.
Very cool.
As far as like DNA alleles
sure.
in wow. common and that kind of thing.
Sure.
So we were happy about that.
Yeah.
To find out, yes, we really do have these heritage boysenberries that we're growing.
Yeah. And so you got those starters from your family member, and then you decided
yes.
to plant a farm out in Orland.
Yes. What happened was, we received those first 24 plants. A friend of mine let me grow the boysenberries in her backyard in Fallbrook, California. And so we were driving back and forth from Las Vegas 4.5 hours every weekend, every other weekend, to take care of these vines in her backyard in Fallbrook. But anyways, my husband propagated 900 plants from those original 24.
Jeez.
They're very prolific plants.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yes, they are by the lake for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. So, we figured, well, we've really got to look for land now. And Orland has, the cheapest water in the state. It's the prime farmland that we found was right according to the survey that we needed. And we purchased this land here in Orland, and we're just so glad to be here
sure.
in the North State.
That's so awesome. So you grow your boysenberries, and then what do you? I mean, do you allow people to come pick?
Yeah.
I didn't get to finish reading the story before I came in, so I didn't know. But do you harvest and send them somewhere, or is it mostly just like come out and fill your basket?
Well, we do a couple things. We do hold an annual U pick during the the time that they're ripe, and I'm out in my field right now looking at the berries, and it's looking like they'll be at their peak right around the first weekend in June.
Uh-huh.
So we'll open our U pick then, and we'll have weekend U picks Friday through Monday, 7 in the morning till 7 p.m. But we also have our own brand, Rudy's Original.
Okay.
My grandfather. And we make, my husband and I make all the boysenberry jams and syrups. We use a commercial kitchen over in Chico.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Do you sell your berries
and
to a baker?
We sell them online. We sell them online with our online store. It's called rudysoriginal.com. But we also do free delivery for all our... We call them our boysenberry friends.
Oh, fun.
In Orland and Chico and Willows, we just, my husband works in Chico. We both work full time.
Yeah.
There's no way we can do this otherwise. Yeah. It is a labor of love.
For sure.
Especially based on, my husband's dedication and how he put this whole farm together. We have 2,400 vines, 40 rows that are 400 feet long.
Wow, jeez.
So there's plenty for people to pick, and no reservations are needed.
Very cool.
We've always been able to accommodate everybody who comes out. And we give them a bucket, and the buckets are purple. And we show them how to pick the berries, and we invite them to taste as many berries as they like while they're picking.
Wow.
I think it's a
dream.
Really incredible experience
yeah.
to have fresh boysenberries right off the vine.
Yeah.
And then we put a little liner in the bucket.
Uh-huh.
And then once they're done filling however many pounds they want, we weigh it, and people just pay by the pound.
Very cool.
And we have jams and syrups at our farm stand as
Very
well,
cool.
as well as plants. Boysenberry plants. We'll be selling those as well.
Well, we're going to have to come down. We definitely want to do this. I want to experience. But we really thank you for coming on.
Yeah, thank you.
We need to go to our next
please
break.
Introduce yourself.
Yeah. Oh, we'll definitely will. I can hear you walking through the dirt. It sounds cool. Yeah.
I apologize.
No, that's great.
No, you're fine. It was great.
Makes it so much more real. So thank you so much again. And
we will definitely
reach out when we're down there. We'll come introduce ourselves so we can say hi.
Have a nice evening.
It was delightful to speak with you.
You
Thank
too.
You.
Thank
Thanks
you.
For the story opportunity. All right, we're going to take our
Bye-bye.
Next break.
Bye bye.
And we'll be right back.
Bye-bye.
North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive in Reading is a proud sponsor of Reading Colt 45's baseball. North Valley Distributing is a major supplier of electrical and electronic products for the industrial and construction markets, featuring services with concentration in industrial automation, lighting, distribution, controls, data communication, solar, and energy solutions. North Valley Distributing, a proud sponsor of Reading Colt 45's baseball. Call 530-222-1500. That's 530-222-1500.
Hi, it's Mark from Haven Humane Society. Are you looking to add to your family? We have puppies, kittens, small critters, and farm animals. Each year, we have thousands of amazing animals looking for homes come into our lives, and we hope to have them join yours. Follow us on social media and find our links on our website, havenhumane.org. Watch our weekly content on YouTube, like our Mark's Monday mashup, when we talk about what's going on and introduce you to our team and adoptable animals. Get involved. Volunteer. Thank you for all your continued support. Together, we are moving closer to our ultimate goal of a North State with no more homeless pets.
At Cornerstone Community Bank, you're more than just a customer. You're our friends, neighbors, the local businesses where we shop, and the restaurants where we dine. Your success strengthens our community. Come meet our amazing teams in Reading, Red Bluff, and our newest location in Anderson. And find out why we are more than banking. Cornerstone Community Bank. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
NorCal Vaccine Access Alliance and medical partners organized a free COVID-19 vaccine special clinic in Anderson for kids and adults at the Shasta Regional Medical Group at 2830 East Street in Anderson. This free event in Anderson will feature gift cards and free food for vaccine recipients Friday, May 24th from 9:30 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. Walk-ins are welcome. For more details, email ncvaa2023@gmail.com.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
My jam. How did she know? I love her. This is one of my favorite parts of the show is the music coming in and out. So
it's always a surprise.
It's always a surprise, yeah, right? Welcome back, everybody. Again, you're listening to KCNR, and this is the North State Now Hour with James and Yvonne Mazzotta with Enjoy Magazine. And we have our next two guests here that are going to carry us out through the rest of the show. And my lovely bride, why don't you take care of the introductions?
Well,
Well, what? You didn't get their name? Well,
the story is The Time to Grow Back Stronger, which is it's on page 20 in our magazine this month.
Whiskeytown Environmental School that's been around and is part of an age-old rite of passage for kids in Shasta County in the North State for years and unfortunately took a ugly turn with the car fire.
Correct.
Yeah. So, ladies, why don't you just introduce yourselves since we weren't prepared to give both the names at once.
All right. My name is Melinda Kashuba, and I'm the president of Whiskeytown Environmental School Community, the nonprofit, an official philanthropic partner of the National Park Service. We are dedicated to raising money to rebuild WES.
Boy, that's
quite a title.
Yeah, it was like quite a title, right? Your Highness.
No, you're going to really meet the most important person sitting to my right now, and that is?
Well, this is Kathy, and I would call Melinda Her Grace.
Her Grace, okay.
She is full of grace as the president of our nonprofit.
Awesome.
My name's Kathy Hill, and I am the treasurer of Whiskeytown
Environmental
School Community. Fund me fun.
That's right.
So welcome. Thank you guys for doing that and coming on and allowing us to do a story on such an important thing, I think, for our community. It turned out to be a really fun article. I love the pictures. Mm-hmm. They're just bright and poppy and just remind me a lot of my youth, but also of our children's youth, right? Because, I mean, mm-hmm. anybody that you know from the area that grew up here, this is always a talking point, is going to environmental camp.
Right.
So,
typically the fifth or sixth grade.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. We hear that a lot, too. Whenever yep. we're at community events, this is one of those epic things in people's lives. They remember the first time they've gone away from home by themselves.
Yes.
They remember the night hike.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yes. And so we hear lots of stories about that and homesickness. And
I was going to say that I was going to say, and the kids that end up having to have the parents come pick them up.
That's why they call them camp counselors.
Yes, but I know. But I remember there were kids that couldn't get it through the night, and they had to go home.
Let me tell you a story about that. There is a businesswoman here uh-huh. in downtown Reading who went in the fifth grade. It uh-huh. was the first time she was away from home.
Yeah.
And she had the worst case of homesickness Monday afternoon.
Mm.
And it
mm-hmm.
continued for a day or two. And she desperately pled to go home. But her counselors and her naturalists distracted her. And by Friday,
she
was having a blast.
And then she cried and had a fit because she had to go home.
Almost, but she said, it taught me that I was capable.
Yes.
It was an experience.
Exactly.
She learned science.
Yeah.
She learned science, hiking, uh-huh. stars, dark night, everything. But it was that experience of that I
but
could
that,
empowering.
That, but even mm-hmm. with that, as kids, you don't, you know, when you're looking at another child through a child's eyes, you kind of think, oh, you wuss, you know, buck up, it's fine. But not all human beings are built alike. Not everybody has that same, you know, that's what makes the world go around, right? Is that the fact that we have our own way of dealing with things. And there's those kids that almost get thrown out because they're crazy, and then there's the kids that want to go home because they're homesick. But it's amazing what you're going to get. I just remember.
But they get through it together.
Oh,
yeah.
They do.
Exactly.
And that's the bond. That's, you know.
It's a rite of passage.
It is the rite of passage.
It's a common experience.
Yeah, yeah.
I was going to say that mm-hmm. Kathy, not mm-hmm. only is our capable treasurer, she taught at WES.
Mm-hmm.
She has done many positions at WES, and she undoubtedly has lots of stories and has seen it firsthand hundreds of times.
Yeah.
What's the favorite lesson that they learn? Biology?
Well,
you know, the fifth and sixth graders, they're there Monday through Friday,
mm-hmm.
and they're off on trail in the creeks, touching, doing, getting miserable.
Yeah.
Delighted.
Mm-hmm. Poison oak?
They learn exactly how to identify poison oak. I guess my favorite, though, I did get to start out teaching the daytime field trips, which is what is happening now.
Since
the cabins are not available mm-hmm. for overnight experiences, by 2021, Shasta County Office of Education was creating daytime field trips for everybody, K through 8th grade.
That's incredible. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. So back when I started teaching, a kindergartner was, we were learning about, what's alive and what's not alive. And he told me that his cotton t-shirt used to be alive. From a plant.
Oh, yeah.
So
brilliant.
That kind of awareness.
Yeah.
Thinking.
It's true.
Full circle. Yeah.
And that's, excuse me, is it cotton or poly? Is it a blend? No, I'm just joking.
Poly met cotton.
Yeah.
Well,
so
that came from plastic, which came from the earth. Which was
right. Petroleum. It was a dinosaur.
Petroleum, yes.
Not dinosaur at once. No. So what is it that you guys are doing right now to help, obviously, to get things back up on the road? That's what we're here for today, to talk about how the community can help restore.
Well, go to our website,
mm-hmm.
westcommunity.org, and there are volunteer opportunities or
mm-hmm.
opportunities to donate.
Mm-hmm.
Our newsletter's on there. You can sign up for our newsletter as well and stay informed about all of our activities. In fact, this coming Saturday, we have a volunteer day.
This Saturday from 9 to 12 is a day to come on campus and paint tables on our website at the events and news page.
Something as simple as that makes a big difference. It really
mm-hmm.
does. Uh-huh. What kind of money are you needing to raise still?
Still, we have raised over $5 million in pledges and gifts.
Seven.
We are an all-volunteer board. There are five of us.
Wow.
And we are dedicated, if not obsessed, in this. Yeah. We are looking to raise another $2.5 million to replace student housing.
Okay.
Perfect. And it's going to happen. We're committed. Yeah. And we have two committed partners, the National Park Service, the Whiskeytown National Recreation Area Rangers, and Shasta County Office of Education.
Okay. Well, we have like 5 seconds left, so I know that went fast, but that was actually 10 minutes, if you can imagine. So. Amazing.